Right now, though, we're going to catch up with Gadgets, and the Gadget Detective, Fevzi Turkelp, joins us. And he's going to talk about the biggest tech show, IFA, it's called. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning. So IFA is a consumer electronics show that opens its doors today in Berlin. Lasts for about 3 days, and it's one of the most important shows. It's where the big manufacturers will announce their products and have announced their products already in many cases. And it's really useful because although the products aren't, I mean, some of them are available immediately, but some of them might be a number of months away. But it's very important because it shows the trend. It shows where manufacturers are actually thinking that products need to go. And I think it's very... I've chosen five different gadgets, but what's interesting is I think is the direction they're taking us in. So, for example...
Don't tell me AI.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that. Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because there's a big battle going on with AI at the moment. Where who's going to be running the AI? Is it going to be cloud-based like ChatGPT and Anthropic's AI and Google's AI and all of that? We're going to pay in subscriptions. You know, we've had this discussion before. Is the world going to be we don't own anything and we subscribe to it all and we have no privacy? Or are we going to try and claw back control and have our own privacy? And this product is a very good example of that. So this is from Anker, A-N-K-E-R, and it's called the Mindbase. And it's a sort of hub for your smart home. So it will help coordinate 40 different types of devices, so cameras and different sensors, you know, temperature sensors, proximity sensors, all that sort of thing. But it's got a built-in AI brain and the capacity to store up to 48 terabytes of data. So the idea is that the smarts that are built into it are done locally. It's not like, say, if you have a Google Nest system, that's all done up, you know, so when the camera recognizes a person or it tells you how many people in the room or anything like that, or when you've left, it turns off your heating. That's all done in the cloud. And the problem with that is privacy. Because, you know, then they know everything about you. This device called the Mindbase is designed to put the smarts on the device itself. Now,
so it's like your own little bit of AI then?
It is.
Disconnected.
There's a lot of this. I mean, it was very interesting because Apple just launched a bunch of new desktop computers. Its new Mac Mini with the brand new M6 processor, which is the fastest single core processor in the world. Inside this thing that's got, you know, five inch by five inch footprints and about an inch and a half tall. And it also launched the Mac Studio. And these devices are essentially designed to run AI locally. So again, do you want to spend a lot of money now and have control of it, or do you want the latest whiz-bang models? Because the thing is, as technology on smart models develops, they're honing it so that smarter models can run on less expensive devices, and that trend is going to continue throughout this year and the coming years. So on the other hand, people like OpenAI have bet the farm, almost literally, on the fact that we're not going to be running our own AI and we're going to be subscribing to theirs. And of course, the more that they buy up memory and storage for data centers, the less affordable these things are. You know, if you buy a computer today, you'll probably pay a third more for it than you would have a few months ago.
Sure. Now, you've got one about sleep here. I'm always interested in sleep gadgets.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Yes, I love this. This is from Soundcore. It's called the Sleep Lab Pro. Again, just announced. It's a bedside device and it can monitor your sleeping, but it uses effectively a form of radar to... it doesn't watch you with a camera, and that's kind of important to say because not everyone wants to be, you know, on camera whilst asleep. But it uses a type of radar that's so sensitive that it can track your breathing and so forth. So it can track the four stages of sleep: awake, light sleep, deep sleep, and REM sleep. It can produce a sleep score and a daily report. It can pick up snoring, heart rate changes, all the sorts of things that you might get get if you say you wore an Apple Watch, but you don't have to wear this and you don't have to worry about the battery and charging it. Because, I mean, I use an Apple Watch, I wear it to bed, but the challenge always is, well, when do I charge it? Because I wear it during the day and then I wear it to bed. And
it is a bit weird going to bed with a watch on as well. It feels odd.
It doesn't worry me, but you know what happens? I get to bedtime and I realise I've got 15% left on the battery.
That's
now,
no good.
Well, either I take it off and put it on the charger, and then I wait around for a bit till it's, charged enough for me to use it, or I go to bed and then don't wake up, and then I've lost the monitoring.
And what's the benefit of monitoring your sleep anyway? Why would people want to do that?
So, it's, you know, that which you can measure, you can improve, but these sorts of devices can potentially pick up disorders like sleep apnea. So sleep apnea is a very common illness, and particularly people who sleep on their own don't necessarily know that they've got it. But what an apnea is, when you stop breathing, and we all stop breathing for little bits of time during our sleep, but it can happen, every couple of minutes. And the problem with that is it's a risk for dementia. It's a risk for heart disease. It's often associated with a condition known as atrial fibrillation, which again is can lead to stroke. So just to know this, because sleep apnea can be treated, atrial fibrillation can be treated, but you have to know you have it. And traditionally, when doctors try and pick up these diseases, it's very difficult. A sleep study, what they call a polysomnography in a hospital bed, is a hugely expensive thing. And this is not a full sleep study, but it will give you a clue to let you know if there might be something wrong. You know, if your heart rate is going crazy or irregular. As I say, it uses what's called 60 gigahertz millimeter wave radar. And one of our other gadgets uses that as well. So this sort of radar is quite interesting because it does a lot of the things that were previously done by cameras, but provides privacy. And I've noticed that actually several of our gadgets have made a feature of the fact that they don't contain cameras.
They don't have a camera. Well, this next one, I don't really know what it is. It's a multi-sensor. It doesn't have a camera, but it does have radar. Well, tell me about that. What's it about?
This is a sensor, so you can mount it on your ceiling or the wall. And again, it's what's called millimeter wave. So that means that it uses a radar with very high frequency. And it's very sensitive. So it's not just, is there movement in the room? It's much more accurate than that. So it can detect and track in real time up to 10 people in a room. It can tell you whether they're standing, sitting, lying down. It can divide the room into 30 zones. So if someone goes and sits at a desk, it can put the desk light on. If they're reading but still in the room but not moving, it doesn't turn the lights off on them because it thinks the room's empty. And yet it can detect when the last person has left the room. And if you've sort of set it up correctly, it can then turn off the lights. So it's got a light sensor built into it as well. So it can, you know, control the lighting from that sort of thing. It uses technologies, and you'll hear these words a lot, Zigbee, Thread, and Matter. And these are standards that are used to allow sensors and home automation devices from different brands to be compatible and to communicate with each other.
Okay.
So it's very much against, you know, Google, for example, will try and, you know, if you want to have a Nest camera, then you have to have a Nest thermostat, and all the things need to be Nest. But with these sorts of standards, you can pick and choose from the different brands.
And the other trend, I imagine, is wearables. And I know you've got a couple of examples here of upcoming wearables as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got one from Circular. It's called Ring 3 Pro. It's just announced. This isn't going to be out till, I think, quite a few months from now. It's a smart ring. So smart rings are used to monitor our health. So in this case, heart rate variability, blood oxygen levels, respiration, skin temperature, sleep, stress and activity. So it can be easier to wear than a watch, less obviously intrusive. This one does a single lead ECG, which is very smart as well. So again, that we mentioned
atrial fibrillation. I mean, it looks like a sort of a fairly chunky wedding ring.
Yeah, it's a fat ring, and it's amazing. Metallic, and it comes in. Yeah, it's very smart. I mean, you know, a lot of the smarts. So these are the sensors, and a lot of the smarts are done on the app, as it were. But it's very clever. But they've actually built an NFC chip into it, which is a contactless chip. So you can actually tap to pay with your hand now.
Wow.
Which is great. You can just go, it's all right, this is on me.
We're just one step away from that chip being in your finger, aren't we?
Yeah. And the other thing I like about it, it's got a haptic motor, a little vibrating motor.
Oh, right.
So alarm times or breathing exercises and things like that.
And for people who don't want to wear a watch, I guess.
Yes, and also because it's haptic, you get alerted without everyone knowing that it beeped, you know, so it's good for that. The last one I like, again, it's sold on the basis it doesn't have a built-in camera. So they're smart glasses. These are called Rayneo IO AI smart glasses, IO AI smart glasses. And it's got a heads-up display. So it's got this green, I sort of send you a picture of it, I don't know if you can see, but in the lens, there's green writing.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah.
So it displays like fighter pilots get, you know, and they can't look down at instruments. So you get information, it's what's called augmented reality. It's not virtual reality where the world around you is replaced by a virtual world. It adds a layer of information.
So you're looking through your glasses and you can actually read print on the lens of the glass.
Yes. It's called a transparent green waveguide display. Think of it like a little light writing on the lens. And it's very difficult for other people to see.
It's like when opticians have left the writing on the label on a pair of glasses.
Yes, exactly like that. But unlike that, it changes what it says.
Right.
But this is quite good because it can put up information so you're not having to get the phone out and look at it. One of the things I like most about it is it's got a built-in teleprompter.
Oh.
Which I think is wild because you don't have to, if you ever any filming, you don't have to look at, you know, have a teleprompter on every camera as you look around.
So Andy Burnham could be doing his speeches. He wears glasses anyway. He could look like he's doing it all off the cuff and he's actually having it projected onto his glasses.
Yeah. And these ones look very real. I mean, they're natural. They weigh 33 grams, you know, and they make a point of the fact, because you know the Meta ones have been nicknamed pervert glasses. I don't know if you've heard that. But I'm not saying that they're for perverts, but you know, there is this anxiety, understandable anxiety, that people are being filmed in public by glasses that have got built-in front-facing cameras. This doesn't do any of that. By default, it links up to Gemini for your smarts, as it were. But you will be able to hook it up to, you know, your favorite language model. It does things like calendar prompts, real-time text translation, action item extraction. So it'll give you a summary of a meeting and then remind you of the things that you need to do. But again, you can look a lot smarter than you are because you're not peering at a smartphone for the information, you know. In the future, I mean, this one doesn't have a camera, but imagine you have a version with a camera in it. It can do things like do facial recognition on device and tell you, you know, who you're talking to. So if you've got a bad memory for faces, for example, in a social situation, you could get a whole biography coming up. This one specifically doesn't do that because it doesn't have the camera. But I do think that, you know, more and more smarts in the devices that we wear. And you're right, these things sit on our skin, you know, we wear them. The next step is we break the skin barrier and we start inserting the technology.
Ooh, I think that's a good point to leave it. Thank you very much, Fevzi. Fevzi Turkalp there from GadgetDetective.com.